Hey guys, welcome back to the Road to Madness podcast. I'm Matt Kaguya.
I'm Mindong. 72 days until college basketball tips off.
72 days back for another episode, back-to-back days. Today's episode is the A-Sun, the second of our 32 conferences for our conference previews. Excited to be back once again. Last episode was a very good one with the America East. A lot of similarities in that one, but this one with the A-Sun. You don't know which way it's gonna go. It looks a lot different looking at our predictions thus far. So very excited to get to it. But good to be back. Happy Saturday. College football is back today, so I'm very excited for that. College hoops right around the corner. But a good day regardless. Another hot day in Clemson, 96 right now. Shout out Clemson Rugby. Big win today for us boys. But back on the pod grind, you know how it goes.
Yeah, and today the A-Sun Conference. Good to be back, like you said. College football has started. I've been watching preseason NFL, scouting my fantasy team. Put things short, I'm not too happy about the Bills letting James Cook not get that goal line touchdown, but that's besides the point. We're here for college basketball. And I'll let you do the honors since I went first last time.
Alrighty, and for those of you that are unfamiliar, once again, Player of the Year, Dark Horse for the conference, and then today there's 12 teams, so we go from 12 all the way up to number one. But this A-Sun really good last year. As you know, Kennesaw State was victorious, first ever win in the Big Dance, and man, oh man, they almost had it last year against Xavier. They were so they, no, they didn't win, right? No. No, did they win?
I
Yeah,
think
they did win, didn't they?
they won the A-Sun and they took Xavier 40
Oh,
minutes.
they lost to Xavier though, right?
Yeah, they did,
Yeah,
but
but that was a
they
fantastic.
were up with like 90
Yeah.
seconds. They were up the first 38 and a half minutes of the game. They controlled the whole pace of it, but yeah, Xavier did come back and win.
Indeed. But it's a new year and the A-Sun's gonna look a lot different. So without further ado, my player of the year will be Devontae Blanton of Eastern Kentucky. Eastern Kentucky in for a big year once again. This is their second or third year, I believe, in this conference after changing over from, I believe they're in the OVC or the MVC. I think they're in the OVC. Is that right? Yeah. So yeah, I got Devontae Blanton regardless. 17 points per game, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal per game. This dude's an absolute monster, and he's in for another big year. I believe this is his last year of eligibility. So, you know, he's going to go out with a bang. And this EKU team looks very good on paper. And Blanton is the motor behind that offense, very high powered offense. So, I have him as my player of the year. EKU, like I said, looking for a very good year once again.
Yeah, and a team that is not in this conference anymore that is extremely significant is Liberty. And this was somewhat of a dynasty in this conference for the past, I'd say, 6 years. And I totally forget which conference they went to.
I don't remember either.
I believe it's probably
A
the.
Sun Belt maybe? No.
I think it was one of the Valley conferences. I think it was either the MVC or the OVC.
I'll fact check you. You can keep get your player of the year though.
Yeah, they're in the Conference USA. Yeah,
They are?
they are. For
That's coming up relatively soon, so we'll get there when we get there.
sure. But my player of the year was last year's freshman slash newcomer of the year out of North Alabama. That would be Jakari Lane. As a freshman, he averaged 12.5 points, 2.5 rebounds, and 3.5 assists. I believe that he is going to make a huge leap in his sophomore year and be one of those guys that will be that went from freshman of the year to player of the year.
Yeah, a lot of guys make that jump. Hopefully Lane does so. I'm very high on North Alabama as well this year. They were pretty good last year as well, 10-8, 5th place in the A-Sun last year. But with my dark horse, I wouldn't really consider it a dark horse. It's just a team I think is going to step up a level. That is going to be Lipscomb. Finished 4th last year in this conference. They do lose our boy Asan Osajula. Shout out to him. I think he's playing overseas now, I believe, but he was one of the first guys we interviewed, first guys that reached out to us. Very cool guy. Shout out to him. That was a couple of years ago now. It seems like it was just yesterday when we did that interview. I believe it was episode like 50 something, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, Lipscomb, they do return 4 starters, led by Jacob Ognacevic. This dude's an absolute problem. He could be a potential player of the year, first teamer in this conference. They also do return Darren Boyd and Will Pruitt as well. This list continues very well coached, always near the top of the A Sun. But I think this year they're going to take a big step up, and I'm excited to see what they do. So that is my dark horse. I know your dark horse is much better than mine in terms of a dark horse, but I think Lipscomb's in for a big year.
Yeah, for sure. Lipscomb's in for a big year. I have them pretty high here. I'm going with a dark horse, a real dark horse. That would be Central Arkansas. They finished second to last in the conference last year, and they do return three starters and most of their bench. The key returnee here is Cameron Hunter. He did flirt with the portal and ended up committing to Baylor before Butler. I'm sorry, before decommitting from Butler and returning to Central Arkansas. So that is a huge return for Central Arkansas, and I believe that alone puts them in the first half of the conference this year.
Yeah, I was very surprised he decided to come back. I thought he was going to go to Butler, but Butler got a couple other commits as well, so made sense for him to come back. Surprised he didn't look at other schools in this conference, but it is what it is, as you know. So without further ado, let us begin with our actual rankings. First up, number 12. Unfortunately, well, I guess this motto doesn't really work here, but every conference has a last place team. That's one of our mottos. But we have different last place teams, but same bottom two tier. Austin Peay is my team. Complete roster turnaround. Besides their sixth man, this team did not do too hot last year. 3-15 in conference play, 9-22 in the year. They played an AP team. I don't know who that was. But regardless, this team needs a lot of help, and I think there's a very poor road team. 1-13 on the road last year, and with all their starters gone, I think it could be another unfortunate year for this team, who also came in from the OVC, but they have not translated nearly as well as EKU. So I do have Austin Peay as my last team here at number 12.
Yeah, and for my last place team is a team that you kind of love dearly. That would be North Florida. And about 4 years ago when we started this podcast, this was a team that you were all over. And they won 21 games. They finished first in the conference. And unfortunately, they were not able to make a run in their conference tournament. And from there, it has just been absolutely downhill for Matthew Driscoll and his program. A complete roster turnaround. I'm looking at the roster from last year and the roster from this year. It looks so much different. No starters return. And he's on the hot seat, definitely on the hot seat. Year 15 for him. So he's made one tournament. He's been mediocre for the past 3 years. And I feel like his time is going to come to an end.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I do have them here at my number 11 spot. So we do flip-flop. But yeah, you pretty much covered it all. North Florida, they were all right last year, middle of the pack team, 9-9 conference play. Very good at home team, a very poor road team. That's kind of the motto of this A-Sun, I've noticed, looking at all these home and away records. But yeah, this team loses a ton. They lose a ton. Can't emphasize that enough. But shout out Matthew Driscoll. Still a very good coach, but yeah, his seat's definitely getting pretty hot. So I do have North Florida here at 11.
Yeah, I'm going to make some.
Whoa, you're making
I'm kind of updating my thing as we go. But at number 11, I'm going with Queens here. Two starters and very little bench return. AJ McGee does return. He has all conference potential, but this team obviously ineligible for the tournament right now. So I feel like that is why their roster's on paper's very weak.
Agreed. And I remember Queens, they played Marshall at home, and they had a couple of good games. I can't even lie. That Queens team was kind of fun to watch last year in their first year in D1. But, yeah, I'll talk about them in a little bit. My number 10 team now is Jacksonville, a team that was also pretty good last year. Two years ago they were pretty good. They made it to the – no, no, they were going to make it to the tournament, but they did not. Jacksonville State did. I believe that was 2 years ago now. During the COVID year, but Jacksonville, they were also a bottom three team last year. They only returned one starter, who is Giassi Powell, who could be pretty good for this team. Or other than that, not much else coming back from this Jacksonville team. It's another year in a rebuild mode, I'd say, for this team.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I have Jacksonville at number 10. Jordan Mincy is a terrific coach. He's 36. He's going to be one of the rising stars in the coaching, in the college basketball coaching. But obviously, his first year, they were really good. Last year, they took a step down. I believe they'll remain somewhat the same, finishing around 11.
Agreed, agreed. Now, moving to number nine. This is where I have Queens, second year in Division One. Very good. I mean, it was a good year for them last year. I mean, I know conference play wasn't the greatest. They were 7-11, but they were above 500 for the year, which is a solid step for a new D1 team. But yeah, they do lose a lot, only two stars and some of the bench returns. AJ McKee was their second option last year. He does come back. Their top option, I don't know where he went. I forget his name. I was just looking at him. I forget his name. I gotta find it now because it's gonna bug me. Who was it? Kenny Dye. Yeah, Kenny Dye was their top option last year. I don't know where he went though. Did he transfer or did he go pro? Do you have any idea where he went?
Let's look.
Let's
Kenny
look.
Dye. He graduated.
He didn't. So is he going pro or no?
Yeah, he is. He is going pro. But yeah, it says he graduated. I mean, he played 4 years at Queens when they were D2 and then played the 1 year at D1. So
perfect. He was a baller last year, though. I think he averaged like 18 or 19. So
I believe he was first team. So
yeah, he probably was. But yeah, this Queens team does have AJ McKee to step up into that new role. He was pretty good last year as well. I believe he averaged about 15 or so. But yeah, Queens, it'll be another transition year. I mean, they're not even eligible, like you said. So I do expect them in the bottom half or bottom five as well, once again this year, unfortunately.
At number nine, I have Kennesaw here. Obviously, a brand new roster turnover and a coach turnover. They went from Amir Abdul-Rahim to Alabama assistant Anton Petway, who was obviously one of three Alabama assistants to get a job. And this roster is filled with all JUCO talent and some returners, but I believe this is a transition year for them as well.
Yeah, and Abdul-Rahim went to South Florida, is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, so hopefully they do well. We'll talk about the American Conference later down the road. That's one of our major conferences, but I don't know if it's going to be like that for too long with all these teams going over to the Big 12, Big 10, all those other conferences as well. The American is going to be looking a lot different, so we might have to make some judgment on that. That will be a next year problem. But I do have Kennesaw State here at my number eight. You said complete roster turnaround. I mean, not really. I mean, they still have some big guys coming back. Terrell Burton was their second option last year. He's back. Desmond Robinson back as well. Those two guys can make some noise, but overall, you're right. It is a roster turnaround per se. But those two guys will keep this Kennesaw State team somewhat intact. But still really happy on last year's success for them. Just a cool story for this team and program. But we talked about it a lot last year. Laughing stock team for the past 5 or so years. Very good recruiting class last year. Translated very well. So I think they'll be okay in terms of the long run. But for now, I think they'll take a small step back. So I have them here, number eight.
For sure. And at number seven.
No,
or number eight. Number eight. I'm sorry.
Come on, man.
Hold up. Mid-episode switch. Number eight. I'm going with the team you have in last place. That would be Austin Peay here. And here's why I had them kind of high. I mean, they fired Nate James after 2 years. And if you don't know who Nate James is, he was the associate head coach at Duke before he took the Austin Peay job. And to fire him after 2 years, you really have to go. You really have to want a coach and convince him to come. And they hired Corey Gibson of Northwestern State, who actually played at Austin Peay. And he took the whole Northwestern State team, who finished first in the Southland, and just brought them all over to Austin Peay. And so I wish I put them as my dark horse because I totally forgot this was the hire. But this might be one of the best hires in the college in the offseason, coaching hires in the offseason. And I'm pretty high on them. I think they're going to finish above eight. I don't know why you had them at 12. But this was definitely overlooked. I mean, so I have them at eight right now. But I think they're going to finish a lot higher than eight. But this is a deep conference this year. It really is.
Very deep indeed. And shout out Hansel Emanuel. He's also on this team. For those who do not know, one-arm legend per se. He's pretty good. I don't know if they get a lot of PT this year. Probably come off the bench once again.
Yeah, he started during the Southland Conference Tournament. He played, yeah, he, I mean, he played like two shifts. He started, and then after like 4 minutes, he come out. But yeah, he started. You could te he
He's
technically say you could technically say he's a starter on a regular season championship team.
probably one of the most popular guys in this conference now, as he was last year at Northwestern State. But yeah, Austin Peay, yeah, I do have him a little too low. I still don't think, I don't know, I'm not that high on him still. I know that the whole turnaround is fantastic for this program, but someone's telling me this team's still gonna finish bottom five, bottom six. So I still put them in my bottom half of the team of the ASUN. Like you said, it's a very deep conference this year, but it's gonna be enjoyable to watch to say the least. And I think a lot of these games will be very close, and there's no clear front runner besides maybe two or three. I'll say that much. But now we move into the top half, and we go to number seven. And I have your dark horse here, Central Arkansas at number seven, a team that was not too well last year. They were 4-14, 11th place in this conference. Yeah, the road record once again was 12-13, not or 2-13, not 12-13. But yeah, they ended on a 4-game losing streak. But Cameron Hunter is a very big piece. Could be an all-conference first teamer. Could be a player of the year candidate for sure. But yeah, besides him, they need some other guys to step up. They do return three starters and some bench, but it's really gonna rely on Cameron Hunter's hands to see how far this Central Arkansas team can go. So I do have them a little bit higher than last year, but I do think they'll be in the middle of the pack this year.
For sure. And at number seven, I have Stetson here. This is a team I enjoy watching. They're gonna hover around 500 every year, and that's probably the case this year. They're gonna be around in the middle of the pack, finishing around 500 in their conference. But this is a team I enjoy watching. They return three starters, and yeah, I like this team. I like watching this team.
They were 12-6 last year in conference
Yeah,
play.
they did.
Finished third. So we're tied for second, I guess, per se, but lost the head tie breaker. But number six, I got North Alabama here. Team's been very consistent in their time in D1. It hasn't been too long for them in D1, but I do remember their first year making it to D1. They were absolutely fantastic to watch, really fun to watch. They do return four starters and some bench as well. KJ Johnson and Ja'Kari Lane, your player of the year. Two big guys to watch out for this North Alabama team. But yeah, they're a pretty fun team as well to watch. But I think they're going to be another solid team this year in the top half of this conference once again. But as we can reiterate, it's going to be a very deep conference this year. And the ASUN's going to be very fun. I think it's going to be a very fun conference to watch. I'll love between some games if they're live and able to be watched. But yeah, North Alabama here, got them at six.
I have them
A lot higher.
at number six. I have Central. You said North Alabama. What? Yeah. All
Yeah, you have them a lot higher. Can you read?
Yeah. I'm kind of chirping right now. At number
Happy
six,
Saturday. Yeah, happy Saturday.
I'm chirping. At number six for me, I have Central Arkansas. This was a team that I originally had at like 10, and then Cameron Hunter returned, and obviously he's gonna make the team leap a little bit. He's a player of the year candidate. I think Central Arkansas will be mediocre once again, but I think they have a they're a dark horse team to win come March.
Absolutely. Number five, I have Stetson here. This Stetson team, like you said, very fun team to watch. I watched a little bit of them last year as well. They're pretty good, and they do return some big starters as well, three of them to be exact. Stefan Swenson, Jalen Blackman is their big guy to watch out for, and Josh Smith, their big man as well. But yeah, most of the bench, a little bench does return, which could be their problem. But these three guys are gonna carry Stetson to a very good placement this year in the ASUN, I believe, as it did last year. But yeah, this team, very high-powered offense. The defense is a little lackluster, but all in all, this Stetson team is in for another very good year, I believe.
Yeah, for sure. And at number five for me, I have Lipscomb here. This is one of the more successful teams in the conference. They finished in the top five for a very long time. They're a very good team, and they return four starters. And this is a team I also enjoy watching. The only starter that is gone is our guy Asante Sajua, but this is a very good team. This is a very deep team as well.
Absolutely. And I have them here at number four. This is my dark horse per se. I should have picked a different dark horse, but whatever. It's too late now. But you pretty much covered it. Like I said, Jacob or Ognacevich is going to be the key guy to watch out for. This dude's an absolute hooper. And ever since he came into Lipscomb as a freshman, he's been very solid. And I expect him to have another very solid year as well. alongside, like I said, Darren Boyd and Will Pruitt. That's the big three to watch out for in Lipscomb. But yeah, I think this team, like you said, been very solid. Nevin Liberty used to be the two powerhouses in this conference, and I know a couple other teams have come in here now that have taken that role of Liberty. But Lipscomb, you know how they'll be. They'll always be solid, always a top four finish. I have them here at number four. I don't know why I just voice cracked, but hey, we keep going.
Yeah, and at number four, I have FGCU, Florida Gulf Coast. Year two of Pat Chambers at the helm, and they had a very successful non-conference there. They beat USC in their season opener at USC, and later down the road, they beat St. Bonnie's at St. Bonnie's. And I thought, hey, this is going to be a team to watch in the A-Sun last year. But they ended up finishing 7-11 in conference, which really surprised me. And they returned four starters, though, led by Purdue transfer Isaiah Thompson, right? Purdue transfer?
Yep, Purdue transfer.
And once again, they're deep. They have one of the best coaches in the conference. And I feel like this should be a successful year to them, barring anything bad.
Yeah, and I believe, did they beat USC or did they?
Yeah, they beat them by 13 at USC.
It was at USC? Oh, I thought it was at home. Or maybe that was 2 years ago, I'm thinking of. But, yeah, they've had a really good non-con. But in conference play, this team seems to struggle sometimes. But very solid team, very deep team as well. I got them one spot higher. And we go to number three, one of the fan favorites in this conference. It's Bellarmine at number three. This team's so fun to watch. Very interesting style of play. But they always seem to get the job done. And I remember vividly, I forget who they were playing, but they were up a couple points. And all they did was just throw the ball up in the air.
Louisville.
And
Louisville.
And they ticked it. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Ticked out like 5 seconds on the clock. Game over. They beat Louisville. And Louisville struggles early last year. But yeah, this Bellarmine team looks very solid once again. Are they eligible for tournaments, or they still have to wait?
This is the third year, so they have two more. After this year, they have one more year left. And then, okay. So they're eligible in 2025.
Yeah, I mean, I still don't like that rule. I don't like it at all. We'll talk about that more in the NEC. I think the NEC is the big one that we really see that happening. But Bellarmine, another team, victim to that. I don't like it. I really don't understand why. If you're a really good team, transition to D1, why not be eligible right away? Doesn't make much sense to me. You want the best teams from each conference making it, representing your team in March, or representing your conference in March. But, hey, Bellarmine returns Garrett Tipton, their starter from their top guy from last year, Peter Suter, and Ben Johnson as well. This team's very solid. This team knows what's up. Bellarmine expecting another good year. Have them at three.
Mm-hmm. And at number three for me, I have North Alabama. This is a team I'm super high on. I believe this is their first year eligible for the tournament as one. I feel like they're going to make some noise in the A-Sun this year. Their backcourt of KJ Johnson, who is a Lipscomb transfer, and Jakari Lane, I feel like is a top three backcourt in this conference. And I'm super high on North Alabama this year. That's really all I got.
Yeah. And number two, I got Dunk City here, Florida Gulf Coast. Still remember those Dunk City days. One of the best times for college basketball for a mid-major fan. But there's been a lot of good ones recently for mid-major lovers. Mid-major love has been pretty good, honestly, these past couple of years in college basketball. We see 16 teams knocking out one seed. We've seen good runs from some mid-major teams the past couple of years. But Florida Gulf Coast, I expect them to have another good year. Like you said, year two under Pat Chambers. Former Penn State coach. But yeah, they return Isaiah Thompson. This guy could also be a player of the year candidate. There's so many player of the year candidates. I think Isaiah Thompson's another guy as well. He'd probably be my runner-up if I had to pick one. But they also return Chase Johnston and Zach Anderson as well. Four starters, some bench returns. Florida Gulf Coast, man, should be a good team to watch. I'm excited to see what they can do.
Yeah, same here. At number two, I have Bellarmine here. This is such a fun team to watch. One of them. The best teams to watch in all of college basketball, just the way they play. I mean, they rarely dribble the basketball. And I think I saw a stat. I think they have 84% of their minutes coming back as well. So this is a very experienced and a significant amount of minutes are coming back, which, you know, I'm a big experience over hype guy. So I have them at number two, and they've finished in the top three every year they've been in Division One. I think they're going to do it again.
Absolutely. And now the number one team, it's kind of an obvious one, I think, this year. This team's fully back, fully loaded. They're bringing some good guys as well, and that's going to be Eastern Kentucky. This team looks very good on paper, like we talked about. My player of the year candidate, or my player of the year prediction, Devontae Blanton comes back. Michael Moreno, I feel like he's been at Eastern Kentucky for a while now, but he's another very solid returnee. Isaiah Cozart, and a key addition, it's an in-conference transfer. It's Colin Cooper from Central Arkansas. I believe he was their second or third option last year. Point guard coming into EKU as well. The team looks ready to go. And obviously, really good first year in the A-Sun. Finished second, fell just short of that bid. This could be the year for them with the Kennesaw State team looking a little bit revamped. So EKU, I think this is theirs for the taking. Very good at home. Very high-powered offense. This is the most high-powered offense in this A-Sun. The A-Sun, I'd say it's a more defensive I don't know, actually. But I probably wouldn't say that then.
I'd say they're more they're high-scoring games in the A-Sun, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm thinking about it. There is a lot of high-scoring games. But this EKU team is the cream of the crop in terms of offensive power. They almost had 3,000 points for on the year, which is – almost 300 more than the second best team, which was, I believe, Kennesaw State. Yeah, it was almost 3,000 or 300 more points for. But yeah, this EKU team, very good team at home. Their road struggles could be the issue for them this year, but I think this team looks very crisp, very good to go. So I have EKU as number one spot this year for the A-Sun.
Mm-hmm. As do I. And this is a team that, if you like reckless basketball in a fast tempo, this is the team you watch. I mean, 40 minutes every game, they're gonna full court press you and just try and force turnovers. And it's just kind of like Brian, if you score 100 points, they're dropping 105. And A.W. Hamilton is a terrific coach, and he's definitely due for a bigger job, or a mid-high major job, I'd say. But they return most of their rotation. I mean, literally most of their rotation. Michael Moreno, I feel like, has been in college basketball forever. I feel like I've heard that name for 6 years now. And imagine if they kept Wendell Green Jr. If he didn't transfer to Auburn, this team would be real good. And I feel like this is easily the overwhelming favorite for the A-Sun right now. And if all goes right, I believe they have upset potential in March Madness. Just find a way to play.
Yeah, and we saw last year with the A-Sun, Kennesaw State almost took a team out. I expect the A-Sun to be another candidate for a mid-major upset in March Madness, absolutely, whatever team that might be. I think EKU is the front runner, but I think there's a couple teams. I'd probably say the top five, maybe six teams have a chance at cracking down on EKU. But regardless, we forgot to talk about bids. We know the American East, it's a one-bid conference. This one will also be a one-bid conference. I was a 14 seed last year for the A-Sun. I expect to be 14, maybe 13 this year as well. We haven't really seen a high A-Sun team besides Liberty, who has been, I believe, as high as 12, if I'm not mistaken. But, yeah, that's just how it goes with some of these mid-major conferences. But I do believe that this one will be a very fun one as well once again this year. And I don't know. These podcasts have been going by so fast, and time just been moving, and it's kind of weird. It's kind of weird. I mean, I haven't really noticed it until now. You mentioned it last episode, but that's number two down. Number two of 32. We got a long ways to go, and next conference up will be the Big Sky. Very excited for that one. It's gonna be a lot different that this year as well for the Big Sky. A lot of guys moving out and in of this conference, but yeah, I believe this is all we have for these son. Excited to get to it. With them, definitely going to be tuning in some of those games. Do you have any closing thoughts?
Yeah, like you mentioned, these podcasts have been flying by, probably because we took a long break, and we love doing the conference previews. We love covering all 32 conferences. That's what we look forward to in the off season. The transfer portal stuff we contemplate on doing, but with all this NIL stuff and everyone moving in and out of places, it was just chaotic for us. And there was no way we're going to cover 2,000 or 2,500 plus transfers. And even the significant ones, there was probably like 500 of them. There's no way we're going to, you know, do an episode every day just on transfers and impact. So we waited for the transfer portal to cool down, and it still hasn't even cooled down. We're still seeing a lot of commitments here and there. So college basketball has changed, but we haven't.
Absolutely. And I mean, even if we were to cover transfers, we're going to cover them all again in these conference previews, especially
Exactly.
the big names. And we've already mentioned a good amount of the transfers in just two episodes of conference previews and two mid-major conferences as well. So you know how it goes. But we'll be back either tonight or tomorrow or the next day. We'll be back on a more consistent basis. We'll guarantee you that until we ran through all these conferences, but there's a lot more to get to. Big Sky up next. But for those of you that tuned in the last episode, we appreciate that. A pretty good turnaround, pretty good interaction on that one. Just good to be back. And I think the fans also appreciate us being back. So you know we're back, and we're gonna stay strong up until November 6th, when that day tips off in 72 days from now, which is coming by very fast. That's a little bit over 2 months away, I believe. No, 3 months. No,
Two.
two.
It's 30
Yeah.
days in a month, man.
It's August, so I was like September, October, and then oh, November. Oh, cool. But yeah, we still got plenty of time. But you know, we're gonna keep rolling through these as we do. Next comments up, like I said, Big Sky. Stay tuned for that one within the next couple of days. But yeah, do you have any other thoughts before we end this one today?
I do not.
All righty, and like I said, college basketball coming around the corner. College football is out now. NFL coming by soon. Sports world coming back to reality. It's been kind of slow. I mean, the MLB's been on. I've watched a lot more MLB than normal, which is not like me, but I'm more invested in that stuff now. So good for me. But the favorite time of the year coming back very soon in November and October and September. All the good stuff's coming back. So very excited for that. But for now, that is all we got for today's episode. Thank you guys for tuning in. As always, don't forget to follow the socials, Instagram, Twitter, post a little bit more on TikTok as well at the RTM underscore podcast. And for platforms, Spotify, Amazon, Apple, Google, you name it, we're there probably. If we're not, let us know. We'll fix that and we'll let you get to listening wherever you decide to listen from. But yeah, that is all we got for today's episode. Thank you guys for tuning in. As always. And it's always March, baby.
It's always March, baby. Thank you guys for tuning in.